If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, dini, wal-azam, ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We are going to be talking about the prayer rules according to the laws issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
SubhanAllah.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Tawid, our guest speaker. We were talking about the rules of prayer according to Ayatollah Khamenei. And I'm going to ask you about what we left off, in fact, Sheikh Tawid, in the last episode about the invalidating agents for the prayer. To my recollection, you have enumerated 5 of those invalidating agents. Would you please continue to the 6th and to the last one, please?
As you rightly mentioned, we're talking about those things which make a prayer void. And of course, the 6th thing which invalidates prayers is to talk even by uttering, for example, a single word consisting of one or single letter which has a meaning or denotes something. For example, I think, as far as I remember, we have discussed this in one of the previous episodes, but we are now discussing the invalidating agents in more detail, of course. So we cannot utter a single unrelated word in prayer, even if it has a meaning, something good, something positive. It doesn't become a license for us to say it in prayer. Okay, yes. And we, of course, let me just say it very clearly, that we have no right whatsoever to add anything to the prayer what is not a part of the prayer. So, for example, to recite a zikr or to include a dua, for example, to recite a zikr which is highly recommended to read out of the prayer, we cannot add to the prayer what is not a part of the prayer. And the prayer has fixed, you know, zikr. That zikr that has been prescribed by the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, the Holy Prophet said to us, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli, okay?
Right.
Offer your prayers in the same way as I offer, okay? Do not add to the prayer anything which is not part of the prayer. Otherwise, it's called bid'ah. So we cannot, you know, include something which is alien to the prayer and which is not related to the prayer.
Like folding the arms, for example.
Now, for example, folding the arms, of course, talking and like saying a single word, like, for example, qay. I think qay means to protect yourself.
Yes.
So if we just utter this word deliberately and intentionally, the prayer becomes void. But of course, if we just say something unforgetfully or, you know, erroneously or unintentionally, the prayer is not made void because we did not intend in the first place to say it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Would you please talk about the 7th?
Yeah, the 7th, of course. The 7th thing which makes the prayer void is to laugh loudly, to, you know, intentional loud laugh.
If someone, laughter.
And if the laugh or the guffawing is uncontrollable or involuntary, and of course, if what prompted it in the first place was intentional, it makes the prayer void. The prayer is definitely affected. But okay, if one laughs loudly or unintentionally, or if he, you know, laughs without, you know, without emitting any voice, you know, there is no problem. Sometimes you might laugh and you might start giggling, but there is no voice, okay? No voice is heard. That, because it does not produce any sound, you are laughing in your heart somehow.
Yeah. Yes.
So that will not affect your prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the 8th invalidating agent. As, you know, if one intentionally weeps, you know, silently or loudly over something worldly, something, let's say, mundane, you know, his prayer becomes void, you know. But if a person weeps silently or loudly due to the fear of Allah or for the hereafter because of, you know, a divine or a heavenly matter, there's no harm, because we do see that some scholars, some great scholars, you know, I have myself seen many scholars who weep in their prayers, and it's quite audible, you know, they weep in their prayers. It's not because of worldly reasons or because of earthly or mundane reasons. They weep during prayer because of fear of Allah. And because of extreme taqwa, they have reached a level of taqwa when they offer their prayers, they find themselves guilty, and they think that they have not observed, they have not offered their prayers in the way which Allah deserves, and they did not worship Allah in the way He deserves. Of course, we can never worship Allah in a deserving manner. So that's why many scholars weep, and that kind of weeping does not affect the prayer.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's take a short break and we'll be back again and continue our program of Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio related to prayers according to Ayatollah Khamenei. Don't go away.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker in the studio. We are talking about the laws related to prayer, according to Ayatollah Khamenei. And more specifically, Sheikh Javid, you were talking about the invalidating agents, and you have reached eighth.
Yeah, I think I have reached the ninth one.
Yes.
The ninth one.
Okay.
The ninth invalidating agent is when a person offers his prayer, and he does, while offering prayer, actions like clapping or jumping up and down, you know, because it's necessary for a person offering prayers to keep his body steady, motionless, and of course he cannot do anything which deforms or which actually takes the prayer out of the recognized mode, you know. For example, if a person starts clapping or jumping, this will definitely invalidate his prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And it does not make any difference whether he does it intentionally or forgetfully, because he goes out of the form of prayer. The form of prayer is not maintained.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But you know, there is no problem in actions which do not change the form of prayer. Like, for example, making a brief sign with one's hand, like pointing to something. To, for example, if you are offering prayer and you just point to someone, to a family member, okay, to turn on the light, or let's say to turn off the stove, okay?
Right.
It doesn't make the prayer void, okay? It's a small action that does not change the form of the prayer. And of course, the tenth invalidating agent is eating and drinking. We do know that no one can eat and drink while offering prayer. And if a person offering prayer eats or drinks in such a manner that people would not say that he was actually offering prayer, or that he was in the state of prayer, his prayer would definitely become void, regardless of whether he does it intentionally or unintentionally. Eating and drinking under any circumstances will definitely cause the prayer to become void.
Sheikh Javid, when you say eating, you know, sometimes it happens to people that, you know, even after brushing their teeth, some particles of the food still remain in their mouth.
Sure.
So if you're in a state of the prayer and then you feel there is a particle in your, for example, mouth, can you still swallow it?
You're right.
Would that be considered as eating?
You know, in common view, that's not considered to be eating. You know, no one is going to tell you. Because I did mention that if someone is calling, someone considers you as being busy eating something or drinking something,
right,
then it makes the prayer void. Okay, if you have a small particle of food or food particle in your mouth and you swallow it, it does not affect your prayer.
I see.
There are two more invalidating agents left.
Yes,
I would like to squeeze in these two
I appreciate it.
Invalidating agents, and of course any doubt concerning the number of rakas in the prayer which consist of for example two rakas or three rakas. We discussed to some extent, we elaborated on the issue of doubts and said that if a person doubts between one or two rakat while he's offering two rakat prayer, or while he's offering a three rakat prayer like the Maghrib prayer, and he doubts whether he offered two rakat or three rakat of prayer, or one rakat or two rakat, then of course his prayer becomes void. And of course, if a person, let's say, adds an extra rukun, for example, he performs one more ruku, one more ruku, or he, let's say, he performs two more sajdas in the prayer, which are considered to be rukun of the prayer. Adding one rukun or deleting or omitting one rukun from the prayer will definitely make the prayer void. And this is, of course, the 12th invalidating agent. So the 11th was to make a doubt which makes the prayer void. And of course, the discussion concerning the doubts are is lengthy.
Yes.
And then adding or omitting a rukun from the prayer, which definitely makes the prayer void.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid, for your nice elaboration of the invalidating agents for the prayer according to Ayatollah Khamenei. And thank you, my dear listeners, for listening to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
لا إله إلا هو